Chapter 12. Las Fallas. The Kellys started packing their things and preparing to return to Australia. In the evening, they went out and enjoyed the festivities. They enjoyed the noise and excitement around them. The streets were full of people laughing and singing. Food and sweets were sold on every corner. Even the noise of the bangers didn't irritate Jodie anymore. The Kellys admired all the fayas and found it difficult to choose their favourite one. Jodie and Jonathan didn't see Juan and David in the crowds of people, but they felt secure knowing that they were there. They tried to find Rafa and Blanca, but didn't see them. Jodie still wanted to say goodbye to Rafa before she left Spain. "He isn't replying to my emails and phone messages because he's sad that I'm leaving," she thought. Jonathan was much more sceptical. He was sure that Rafa's sudden disappearance from his sister's life was connected to the missing CD-ROM. He wanted to find David and Juan and tell them his suspicions. He hoped to see them in their disguise as judges when the prizes were awarded. At midnight, hundreds of fireworks illuminated the sky. The twins stood on the roof of their building and watched. "This is even better than the closing ceremony at the Olympics," said Jodie. "It's a fantastic festival." "I want to speak to David and Juan," said Jonathan. "I feel something isn't right. Where are Victor and the other people from the workshop? Don't you think it's very strange that they've all disappeared? Why aren't they interested in seeing the fire displayed at the festival?" "I don't know, Jonathan," said Jodie, "but I agree with you. It is very strange." "Do you realise that we haven't seen Rafa since the day we visited Dad's laboratory? Doesn't that seem strange to you?" asked Jonathan in a quiet voice. Then he decided to share his suspicions with his sister. "I never told you, Jodie, but I saw Rafa using Dad's computer in the laboratory when he was waiting for Dad." "Maybe he was checking his emails, Jonathan," said Jodie defensively. "Rafa isn't connected to Dad's problems or the missing CD-ROM. I think he's very hurt. He wanted to go out with me. And now I'm leaving Spain. I didn't know that he was so emotional."
"That's ridiculous, Jodie," said Jonathan. "He's not emotional or sincere. Maybe he was using you to get near Dad and his experiments."
"You're crazy, Jonathan," said Jodie, insulted. "Can't you believe that men think I'm attractive? Sometimes I really detest you."
Jonathan didn't answer his sister. He was trying to solve the mystery, and things were beginning to be clear.
The next morning, the twins were surprised to find a banner in the ground next to their fire. A message was written on it in big letters.
"What does this mean?" Jodie asked a neighbour.
"Your fire has won a prize for the most imaginative fire," the neighbour explained. Jodie and Jonathan were delighted.
"I'm sure Rafa and the others will want to get their prize," said Jodie. "I'm going to send Rafa one last email and tell him about the prize."
"You won't get an answer from him," said Jonathan. "He doesn't need you anymore. He has got what he wants."
"Shut up, Jonathan," said Jodie. "You're very irritating sometimes."
But Jonathan was right. Once again, there was no answer from Rafa.
The twins felt sad on the final night of the festival. On this night, all the fires were burned. Every year, the judges chose one ninot, a sculpture or especially beautiful piece of the fire, and it was saved and exhibited in the Museum of the Ninot.
with the ones chosen in previous years. Jonathan and Jody wanted the judges to choose a ninot from their fire for this honour, but they didn't.
"It will be hard to watch your fire burn in flames," said Mr. Kelly.
"I feel the same way about all the work I've done in Spain. I guess it's appropriate for us to leave Spain at this time."
The Kelly family watched the first few fires burn.
The air was filled with smoke and fireworks. There were so many fires that it was almost as light as day. Jody was frightened that the entire city might catch fire, but she saw firefighters standing on every corner.
"In Australia, we couldn't have a festival like this," she said. "Every time the surfing club want to make a fire on the beach, they must get special permission and follow lots of security regulations."
Jonathan watched, fascinated, as the flames reached each fire, and it soon disappeared in smoke. Their fire was still standing intact, waiting until the end because it was one of the prize winners.
"Let's go and say goodbye to it," said Jonathan.
The twins walked towards their fire. When they approached it, they saw Rafa and Victor. They were trying to manoeuvre part of the fire from its place.
"Rafa," Jody called in a loud voice, "what are you doing?"
Rafa turned round. At first, he was surprised to see the twins, but then he smiled at Jody. Victor didn't smile.
"Why didn't you answer my messages?" Jody asked Rafa.
"Sorry, I was very busy and I didn't check my emails," said Rafa. "And my mobile phone was stolen. Look, we're very busy now, but I'll come to your flat tomorrow to say goodbye."
Jonathan sensed that Rafa wasn't telling the truth. He approached Rafa.
"You're not going anywhere until you tell me where the CD-ROM is," Jonathan said.
"What CD-ROM?"
Rafa began to ask, but suddenly Victor pulled his arm, pointing to a group of falleros. They were approaching the fire, ready to burn it. When Rafa saw them, he became very aggressive. He pushed Jonathan out of the way.
"You Australians have caused a lot of problems," he shouted. "I was furious when I went to the workshop and the fire wasn't there. It was safe in the workshop. Why did you move it? Move out of my way. We must save the fire from the fire."